We're discussing coverage under the Affordable Care Act here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The American Rescue Plan brings significant changes to the ACA since it was signed into law 11 years ago. We're talking larger subsidies to buy insurance, lower deductibles, and covering the entire cost of COBRA, allowing people to continue their employer coverage when they lose their job. Now there's a big push to enroll by May 15th under a special enrollment window due to COVID. Healthcare.gov is trying to get the word out in a recent ad in Spanish.
En estos tiempos es más importante que nunca tener cobertura médica. Y yo encontré un plan a $50 al mes.
Have you lost your coverage? What do you want to know about the special enrollment period and changes to the marketplace? 800-642-1234. Sadie Tischer is owner and independent health insurance broker at Wisconsin Health Insurance Advocate, LLC. Sadie, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Well, a year into the pandemic, millions of Americans losing work at some point, one point or another. What are you seeing? What situations in healthcare are you addressing?
Yeah, we're continuing to see a lot of people in the service industry in particular, either losing jobs or moving into new jobs that are no longer in the service industry. Of course, we're still seeing some people employed, and we encourage people to shop local and support their local restaurants. But I am seeing a big transition, mostly in customer-facing service fields of people who are needing to transition into individual insurance. Luckily, at this point, we are not seeing as many layoffs as we did through the early pandemic. So hopefully things are starting to get a little bit back to normal with the vaccinations.
So when you help someone transition into individual insurance, what is that first step? What are some of the, the most pertinent questions you ask them?
Sure. So the most important things we need to know, at least to run a quote, to give people an estimate of what their costs might be, are their estimated income for the year. That can be a tough one, as the year can be unpredictable, but we just use the best guess estimate. And then, of course, where they live, whether or not they're a smoker, because tobacco rates do increase premiums. And then any other pertinent information, like do they have anyone else in their legal tax household? And then what medical conditions might they need covered or prescriptions they need covered? Generally, what kind of coverage are they looking for? Do they need a small deductible? Are they okay with a larger deductible? That sort of thing.
How have you seen their options change at all, or grow, decrease? What is that like for shopping for plans?
Not much has changed as far as plan availability. Insurers have to submit their rates to the state in May of the prior year. So most insurance companies had already set their 2021 rates by the time the pandemic hit. Mm. So I don't actually expect to see any major changes until 2022 as far as the options offered, what the plans look like. Over the last 5 years, we've seen a significant increase in the size of deductibles and the cost of premiums. There's a couple of regulatory reasons behind that. But generally speaking, we've seen consumer costs go through the roof.
Consumer costs going through the roof. What, without getting so into the weeds, but what does this do to? Why is the burden being put on consumers?
So in the prior administration, President Trump and the CMS secretary, the Department of Health and Human Services secretary, made some moves to change how marketplace plans were reimbursed. So they reduced what are called cost-sharing reductions. The federal government used to pay insurers for low-income people in order to subsidize the deductible. So to bring the deductible down from its regular amount down to the amount the government said was the maximum. And the government at that time was reimbursing, in the original Affordable Care Act, was reimbursing the health plan for that difference in deductible. Mm. And the Trump administration did get rid of that. So insurance companies had to kind of scramble because all of a sudden they were no longer going to receive reimbursement for those costs. So what, as a result, we saw insurance premiums increase exponentially because now insurance companies had to figure out a way to cover those costs.
If you're just joining us, we are talking about health coverage in the pandemic, changes to the Affordable Care Act, the ACA, under the COVID relief package. Sadie Tischer watches all of this as an independent health insurance broker in Wauwatosa. You can join in with your questions, your situations about health insurance. Have you lost coverage? What questions do you have about changing plans, about shopping the marketplace? 800-642-1234. So Sadie, the American Rescue Plan, now law, includes a number of changes to the Affordable Care Act. How does this law affect how healthcare is delivered under the ACA?
Sure. So for most people, it is going to mean a change in the amount that they pay towards a premium. One really important note is that the law only includes these changes for 2021 and 2022. So if nothing changes, if Congress does not extend these changes, we would expect in 2023 for costs for consumers to go up again. So the main points are that for people under 150% of the federal poverty level, so for an individual, that's about $19,000. For a couple, that's about $26,000. They will see the premium, if they choose the benchmark silver plan, so that's the second silver plan, actually go down to zero. Based on income, at this point, that premium is ranging from anywhere from about about $500, depending on area that you're in. So that's going to be a really big change for people. There's also a provision that for people over 400% of the federal poverty level, they prior to this law did not get any subsidies. But with the change in this law, they can now apply for a subsidy, and their premium, if they choose the benchmark silver plan, can be no more than 8.5% of their income. When I crunched the numbers, I found that this largely benefited people who were over 50, some who are under, but for the most part, almost anyone over 50 who makes less than $150,000 per year is going to benefit from this. And I think it'll affect a lot of people who have not gotten a subsidy and who have been paying full price. One important thing that people will need to do is renew their coverage during this special enrollment period to have that subsidy applied if they want it right away. Otherwise, they can just wait till tax time if they are on the marketplace and reported income, and then they will get that back on their tax return. But it's important to know which you are and maybe get some expert advice on whether or not you'll be eligible for that and if you'll get it back on taxes if you do nothing.
So the subsidies, when do they actually kick in on the marketplace?
So they will kick in as early as May 1st.
Okay.
And people can start to shop as of April 1st.
Okay. We had a question last time we talked about health insurance. We had a question from Steve in Michigan who had a situation on orthodontic coverage.
My question is about the healthcare benefits and the relationship, the PPO, HMO, as far as orthodontic. And I'm told that my wife needs some orthodontic work, but it's like they stopped paying for it after a certain age. And I don't understand that, but I'm still paying for it.
So what should Steve understand with braces and dental work under health plans?
Sure. Health insurance was not mandated to cover dental for anyone over the age of 18. So we simply do not see dental coverage included for any adult. People can buy a separate dental policy if they'd like, and there are very few that cover orthodontic coverage and certainly none on the marketplace. So Steve would really have to shop around for that, but it would be a separate policy with an additional premium.
Gotcha. Sadie Tischer is a health insurance broker in southeastern Wisconsin. Her expertise is in Medicare, Medicaid, and the Affordable Care Act. We're examining all the healthcare changes brought about by the American Rescue Plan. What do you want to know about the federal marketplace, how it works? Are you shopping for a plan now or considering changing your health insurance due to a life change, new baby, job loss, worries about getting COVID? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Sadie Tischer here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show as we get at all of your questions about healthcare coverage. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, thanks for being here. Bloomberg reported late last week that the Biden administration is considering extending the special enrollment window for Americans to buy ACA health plans beyond the current window that expires May 15th. The $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan enacted this month includes subsidies, as we've been talking about, to offset costs for buying these plans. What do you want to know about when it comes to the tax credits and what will be available on healthcare.gov? What questions do you have about Badger Care? Are you confused about what options you have if you lose health benefits? 800-642-1234. Sadie Tischer is a health insurance broker advising individuals, families, and businesses, and she's with us for the hour. Sadie, let's talk just a moment here on vaccines and testing. Are there only specific insurance policies that cover receiving the COVID vaccine, or is it free for all?
All full insurance policies are mandated to cover both testing and vaccinations for COVID. There are certain policies out there, maybe called short-term policies, transitional policies, that are not considered fully insured, and those policies do not cover or may not cover testing or vaccines, but all full insurance plans must.
When you look at the insurance plans up against the hospitalizations that we've been seeing with COVID patients, you know, how do you make sure that your plan isn't skimpy, that if you are hospitalized, whether it's a day, a week, weeks on end, that you won't be completely stymied by the cost?
One thing that is of particular interest to me, early in the pandemic, the state, Wisconsin State Legislature, passed a rule relating to COVID that bans balance billing. So hospitals are not allowed to bill, balance bill. And what that means is that the hospital only takes certain kinds of insurance. And let's say you go and you have a different insurance plan, but you need to go to that hospital, you have an emergency, you go to the hospital in or out of network. And if it's out of network, the insurance will pay a portion, but the hospital will come back and say, well, that's nice, they paid their portion, but we'd actually like to charge this amount. And because we have no contract with your insurance, we can balance bill you the difference. And this has been a legitimate legal way for hospitals to collect additional payment when they don't have an in-network contract. And it really costs consumers a lot of money, and there's nothing they could do about it. But relating to COVID, the state legislature passed COVID-related treatment cannot be balance bill. I think this is a really important thing that we should extend, and our state should have a rule against in all situations. But at least at this point, relating to COVID, hospitals are not allowed to balance bill.
And you would like to see this go on beyond the pandemic and applied to other things, not just COVID.
Absolutely. It is an incredibly costly practice. Even when your insurance has paid, that you get a bill for the difference for whatever the hospital decides they want to charge, and you are at the mercy of it. Many states have anti-balance billing legislation. The Wisconsin legislature for years has not wanted to take it up, but it's a very important piece, and I encourage all people to contact their representatives and encourage them to extend this to all billing.
We heard from Judy in Juneau, who asked a question the last time we talked about health coverage.
I have a relative that quit his job to take a new one, and In the meantime, he doesn't have health insurance. He also developed COVID and has been in the hospital a week now. It's not looking good. Can he, he'd have to have someone have health care power of attorney, but can he still pick up COBRA to cover his health insurance from his old job?
What should Judy know about the federal law known as COBRA in keeping employer-based health insurance?
Yes. So the new American Rescue Plan has extended COBRA coverage even further. So prior to this, when a person lost job-based coverage, they had 60 days to elect COBRA. And I should note, too, that's assuming that the plan they left is subject to COBRA. There are certain types of insurance that are not subject to COBRA, but for the most part, most plans are. So people would have 60 days to elect that COBRA. However, this American Rescue Plan, there's a little line in there, and we're not exactly sure how it's going to be implemented, but it states that if you involuntarily lost coverage, which it sounds like this person did, you have to be given the opportunity to then elect that coverage at this point. So if it covers the April period, if you would still be within your 18 months of COBRA during April of this year, you have to be allowed to take it. And the employer is going to, for September, April through September, going to have to pay the cost of that COBRA coverage. After September, we expect them not to have to pay it, but this individual potentially could go back and elect COBRA, at least for April onward. We're not sure exactly how it's going to be implemented and whether or not it would help him for March. All of that is still pending and insurance companies are scrambling to figure that out. But I think he could potentially go back and elect that.
We are looking at health coverage in the pandemic with health insurance broker Sadie Tusher. She owns Wisconsin Health Insurance Advocate, which is based in the southeastern part of our state. You can join in with your questions. What do you want to know about enrollment in Badger Care or on the federal marketplace, healthcare.gov? Have you tried finding health insurance through the new state portal, WisCovered? What has this resource provided you? 800-642-1234. We heard from Don in Eau Claire. Sadie called in, couldn't stay with us. Don wonders, what are the income limit thresholds for the Affordable Care Act coverage plans?
Well, as of April 1st, the American Rescue Plan, there's technically no income threshold. Prior to that, the income threshold was 400% of the federal poverty level. You could still buy a plan if you were over 400%, but you paid full price, whatever the full price of that plan would be. So for an individual, the 400% of the federal poverty level is $51,040. Mm-hmm. For a household of two, it's $68,960. But now people over those limits will have the benchmark silver plan, so that second silver plan, set at 8.5% of their income. If the actual premium is less than that, great, but people over won't pay more than 8.5% if they choose the second silver plan or a lower plan.
What about collecting unemployment benefits and signing up for coverage on healthcare.gov? What is that situation like?
Well, this new American Rescue Plan does include a provision that if you receive unemployment, you will get a very full subsidy and a $0 benchmark silver plan. What is unclear to me is when you need to be receiving that unemployment, if it is at the time you apply, if it's at any point during the year, if you received it prior to April 1st, will that qualify? We're uncertain of that. It hasn't fully been implemented yet, so I'll be very interested to see. But one of the provisions is that if you do receive unemployment, you will get a really good deal on the marketplace.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, too, with this, if you're already on a marketplace plan and getting a small subsidy, if you want to leave it as is, you will get that money back on taxes as long as you're receiving a full some sort of subsidy at this point.
Would you, with all of these changes that you're seeing, if you are on a marketplace plan now, should you in this window shop around and see if there's better coverage, better options for you?
We would encourage most people to shop around and make a change to their application if they want to see if they can get more of a tax credit back. I think it'll benefit most people at least to get a quote to find out what their tax credit might be so they can make an informed decision about whether they want to take that right away or wait to get a refund on their taxes.
We're talking with Sadie Tischer, who owns a Wisconsin-based insurance company. We're spending the hour looking at healthcare insurance options, especially for laid-off workers, uninsured, underinsured Wisconsinites, in light of the significant changes to the Affordable Care Act and the reopening of the online federal insurance marketplace until mid-May. And taking your questions about health coverage at 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up after a news update on the Ideas Network. We're discussing health coverage on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The COVID stimulus plan enacted this month includes new subsidies to offset costs for buying health plans on the marketplace, which may cause more uninsured people to sign up. And we're looking at what it means for Wisconsinites. The state portal wiscover.com includes links to the federal health insurance marketplace at healthcare.gov. It provides free help to people to find out about their options, including whether they're eligible for Badger Care, our state's Medicaid program for low-income residents. Are you in the market for new coverage? Do you anticipate a gap in health coverage? Let's look at your situation, 800-642-1234. Sadie Tischer is a health insurance broker fielding your questions through the hour. Carrie is joining us from Eau Claire. Hi, Carrie. What is your situation?
Hi, good morning. I bought a bakery back in December of 2018 in Eau Claire here. And, I looked at health insurance at that time and it was pretty expensive, especially because I didn't have a whole lot of income coming in. My husband, his employer doesn't offer any insurance. So we've basically been uninsured since then. But I did see that the marketplace is opened again. And last time I found it to be incredibly cumbersome. So I'm wondering, what our best options are for finding the right insurance for us, because I feel like we've been playing Russian roulette.
Mm. Carrie, thank you. How is the bakery doing, by the way?
We're coming back. our customers are very faithful and, we're working hard. We're not at full staff yet, but we're sure trying.
Sadie, what advice do you have for Carrie?
Yes, Carrie. The marketplace is reopening, and with this new subsidies for people with higher incomes, I think many people are going to find affordable coverage. I think you would also really benefit from someone to help you navigate through the system. Because you're right on your own. In fact, studies have shown that it's equivalent to random chance when you're trying to pick a plan on your own. There are professionals out there like myself and many others who help people navigate the system. We know about the plans. Most of the plans bring us through training every year. We know details about what providers are covered, what their coverage looks like, what the experience of other customers has been. And we as brokers help people do that for no cost. So we are a middleman to help you navigate the system. And we are paid through commission based on plan choice. Most brokers will work with almost all plans. There are some, of course, that don't. But like my brokerage in particular, we work with all plans. We don't steer people to one plan over another. We help them choose the best plan for them. There are also navigators and qualified application assistance counselors throughout the state who help people. They are not able to give advice on plans, but they can help people navigate at least the application. I will say from our end as a broker, the application takes about 30 minutes. versus doing that on your own, as I'm sure you know, takes several hours sometimes because we get a quick backdoor.
Do you think that if you're doing this for the first time, you should seek out help from a type of navigator?
Yeah, get help from someone. Our help is free. We can run quick quotes for you, help you narrow down which plans might be appropriate for you. You know, it's really hard to tell on your own from the marketplace if your doctors are covered and you may be looking at a plan that doesn't even cover the system that you're looking to go to. So we can help narrow that down. We understand the subsidies, how they work, what income counts, what doesn't. There's no reason not to get help because it is no cost to you.
Carrie, thank you. Jim is joining us from River Falls. Jim, hi.
Hi, thanks for having this program. So I retired about a year and a half ago, and I was able to take my plan from work with me, which is really good coverage. You know, I had to pay all of the costs associated with that. So it's like $2,200 a month. And now shortly thereafter, I kind of asked an insurance provider who handles my other insurance what the options were for other insurance. And it must have changed significantly because I thought at that time there wasn't a great deal of savings to switch to, the ACA plans. But now I was doing some looking at it, and it seems like it would be a great savings to me. But talking with some people, too, they indicated that if you go above a certain, like, for coverage for my wife and myself, if your income exceeds a certain amount of a threshold, that it's all or nothing as far as the subsidies goes. So if your income is $1 above a certain limit, that then you would lose all of the subsidies. So I just wanted to ask about that. And then I'm trying to figure out also whether I'm ahead to, you know, go with the really high deductible plans, which my, you know, monthly premium would be nothing, or if I go for something like a gold plan where my monthly premium is quite a bit higher,
but you have
trying to navigate what would be the most beneficial as far as cost savings for me.
Jim, thanks. Sadie, a couple questions in there. Go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, Jim, there is a change with the American Rescue Plan that subsidies are extended for people over that 400%. So what you were talking about is what sometimes we call the cliff, where once you are over that certain limit amount, like for a couple, that $68,960, you receive no subsidy. And if you got a subsidy because you estimated lower, you end up having to pay that whole subsidy back. So it can be really treacherous area for people who are close to that limit. But the American Rescue Plan has extended subsidies at least for the next 2 years, making it so that if you are over the 400%, the plan will cost you 8.5% of your income or less. So at least for the next 2 years, you may, in fact, benefit from going onto the marketplace. Because the law at this point is not extended beyond 2022, I would also factor in there, you know, how long you have access to your employer-based coverage. And once you drop that, you likely can't get it back. So it's kind of a one-way street for you.
Yeah.
The other factor Jim asked about too is the lower premium high deductible plans versus a higher premium low deductible plan. I find that it really varies based on a person's medical need, and we can kind of calculate an estimate. If you are a high user or undergoing some sort of current treatment, it oftentimes does make sense to pay a higher premium to get more coverage. But if you are a low user who doesn't go to the doctor very much, oftentimes it doesn't make sense to have a gold standard of coverage that you are unlikely to use. So oftentimes we'll do a calculation for people on what their maximum costs are, what they're paying in premiums versus what they're getting in a benefit. So it's unique to every person, every situation, of course, based on income, and rates vary widely based on age and zip code.
So a lot of trade-offs there to consider. Sadie Tischer with us, health insurance broker in the southeastern part of the state, fielding your questions about your health care coverage situation, 800-642-1234. Sandy is joining us from Mineral Point. Hi, Sandy.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call. Right now, I have a no premium because I'm low income, high deductible plan. And it's $6,800 before my insurance kicks in, which is crazy. But I'm wondering, with the new changes that have come out, can I go reshop this and see if I can stay with the no premiums and get a lower deductible?
Yes, you can. Absolutely. And we're really encouraging people to do that, especially people like you who chose a low premium, high deductible plan. For people under 100% of the federal poverty level, so that for an individual is $19,000 or so, and for a couple it's about a little under $26,000, they are going to see a $0 premium for what's called the benchmark silver plan. So, if you're under those limits, or everyone out there, if you know someone who might be under those limits, there's really no reason to go uninsured or underinsured after April 1st or starting May 1st. So, Sandy, yes, absolutely. You should at least get a quote. I encourage people to, before you go ahead and edit your application, which can cause some technological problems on the back end, just run a quote for yourself or have someone run a quote and see what your potential savings are so you know whether or not you need to do an edit and whether or not you want to do a switch.
Yeah, Sandy mentioned a very high deductible around in the neighborhood of like $6,800, $6,000 deductible. Just out of curiosity, how high do deductibles go?
So the legal maximum for a deductible in 2021 is $8,550. That is a bronze plan. People may not see them in every place in the state, but that is the legal maximum at this point for a deductible.
How often do you see plans provide a checkup, a health checkup, preventative care? Are there some regulations around ensuring that this can, that those can happen at no cost?
Yes, all full insurance plans, so all marketplace plans, on or off market plan, do need to cover preventive care at no cost, regardless of whether or not services are subject to the deductible. So you may have a plan that has that $8,550 deductible and nothing is covered before that deductible. But when we say nothing, we really mean sick care, regular care, accident care. All those preventive services, a regular physical, a flu shot, for a woman, a PAP, for anyone, a colonoscopy, those all have to be covered before the deductible at no cost to the enrollee.
We have Sadie Tischer with us from Wisconsin Health Insurance Advocate, fielding your questions on health insurance coverage. Are you confused about the health plans that are available to you? Are you worried your plan is too skimpy or doesn't do enough in the area that you need it to? What are your healthcare costs running your family now? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Let's get back to our conversation about health insurance. The American Rescue Plan brings substantial changes to the Affordable Care Act that make health insurance plans more affordable. Premiums are being lowered, out-of-pocket costs are cut for some people. And as we've been talking about, higher income people will no longer be excluded from getting subsidies for ACA plans. Just some of the changes that are scheduled to take place. Sadie Tischer is an independent health insurance broker in southeastern Wisconsin, and she is our guide. Let's bring in Ruth now in Madison. Hi, Ruth.
Hi. I have a question. I am considering retirement and, of course, am putting it off because of this whole conversation that we're having. I have contacted SHIP, which is the State Health Insurance and Assistance Program. I have the Medicare U.S. Government Medicare Handbook, which is some 120 pages long. I've narrowed it down to Quartz Group Health and AARP here in the southeast part of Wisconsin. I still, after literally 6 or 8 months of, and I consider myself highly intelligent and able to read for comprehension, I still find this very mind-boggling. My question is, how close are we to getting a national health plan where this will all go away in this country like the European countries have? How close are we?
Ruth, thank you. Sadie, your insights there, which of course has major political ramifications.
It is, and requires me to put on my philosopher's cap. I think, Ruth, that we are probably at least a decade away. I think in some ways the American Rescue Plan and its extension of subsidies was another little step forward in the same way that the Affordable Care Act was a step forward. Private insurance is very deeply embedded with our in our system, but the Medicare Advantage plans, the ones you actually just mentioned about, you know, Quartz Group Health, AARP, those are all Medicare Advantage plans. And these are plans that people use to replace, not permanently, but as long as they want to be in it, replace their Medicare coverage. And the plans look a lot like the traditional group plans that we're used to, where you have copays when you go to the doctor's office, a maximum that you can spend, some drug coverage, and each plan varies a little bit. But Advantage plans have been highly successful for people. They've done a lot to cap Medicare costs for a lot of consumers. And I would argue the costs are still too high, but at least they're starting to cap them. Hmm. And these plans are often no premium or a very low premium for the consumer. And they are paid in the background with Medicare dollars. So Medicare is funding these plans for individuals. And in some ways, as I go through plans with people, I often think that these Medicare Advantage plans are potentially our way forward towards some sort of single payer system. I'd like to see better coverage overall, but given the political climate and what has worked and what hasn't and how deeply entrenched private insurance is in our system, my hope is that this will be at least a step forward. I would love to see it within the next decade. I'm a bit of a cynic, so I'm not sure if it'll be then, but I think that would be a good first step forward.
Ruth, thanks. As we talk about Medicare, we heard from Randy in Oak Creek, called in, couldn't stay with us. And Randy is wondering if you could explain IRMA, the income-related monthly adjustment amount that is part of some Medicare premiums, and what it does and how the funding formula works.
Sure. Yes, Randy. So the IRMA, like you said, income-related monthly adjustment amount, is an amount that Social Security assesses. So if you're receiving Social Security, it comes out of your Social Security amount. If you're not receiving Social Security yet, you get a bill from Social Security. And it is based on income that people who take Medicare Part B as in boy and or D as in drug pay an additional premium to be in those plans on a sliding scale based on their income. So there is, and you can find it if you just search for IRMA chart or IRMA income chart online, it will show you the income amounts and each tier how much extra you pay. Generally speaking, for a couple, if you make over $88,000 a year, they're assessing you a small IRMA, and it goes up from there. And you pay an IRMA for each B and D.
Okay. We're talking with Sadie Tischer, who is the owner of an independent broker with Wisconsin Health Insurance Advocate, taking your questions about health plans. Mark is with us from La Crosse. Hi, Mark.
Hi, yeah, thanks for putting me on. Say, a few years back before Obamacare came in, I was looking to leave my job and start a small business. And, for the high deductible health plan at that point in time, it was quite affordable. I think it was about $500 a month for a $5,000 deductible plan. Obamacare came along, and that shot up to about $2,000 a month. It was extraordinary how expensive it got. Well, recently I did leave my employer to start my own LLC. And so for the bronze plan, it was $1,700 a month for my wife and I. We looked at one of the cost-sharing plans. We went with particularly a Christian cost-sharing plan, Samaritan's Purse. For a smaller deductible, $5,000, our premium went from $1,700 a month down to $330 a month. So these cost-sharing plans are extraordinarily more efficient, effective, and people should really be looking into them. The other comment I'll make regarding national health insurance is that in these European countries, and in Canada too, we used to live up there, they figured out that the best way to save money on health insurance is to not provide it, or health care. So there's, what they cover in those countries generally is less than the U.S. You have to wait a long time to get the care. And that's why in those countries there's a very prosperous secondary private health insurance market where people will buy health insurance to add on to the government-run health insurance.
Mark, I want to just stop here because we are short on time. Thank you so much. Sadie, what can you add about these cost-sharing plans?
Sure. So they're called cost-sharing ministries. They are almost exclusively religious-based plans. I've only found Christian plans. They have certain criteria that you have to meet or agree to, such as being a member of a Christian church. Some of them, it's as specific as the kind of church that you are a member of. And they can be appropriate for some people. Many people do get subsidies on the marketplace, making those plans more affordable. But for people who don't get subsidies, these cost-sharing ministries, Christian ministries, can be an option. I like to make sure that people understand that it's not full insurance coverage. And for some people, that might be perfectly appropriate. But they often do not cover preventive care. They rarely cover anything related to, say, alcohol and drug abuse, AIDS, HIV, any sexually transmitted disease, colonoscopies. Some don't cover maternity care, particularly for unmarried women. So they have limitations, they are appropriate for some people, but I encourage people just to be cautious about the kind of coverage they are receiving, that it's not full insurance coverage.
We only have a few seconds left, but where can you point us for information about resources, about navigators? Where can people go?
Sure. So withcovered.org does offer help in navigating the system. It helps connect you to an individual who can help you navigate the system. You can, of course, call the marketplace directly. We also provide assistance. You can go to our website, which is www.wihia.com. And we do have some quote links on there where we're not collecting information on people. So I encourage people to talk to people who you know who are uninsured, especially people who are low income. At this point, there is no reason to continue going uninsured.
Sadie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Kate.
Sadie Tischer, owner and of Wisconsin Health Insurance Advocate, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.